share, subscribe, and rate it.
5 stars.
Bigfoot and Beyond.
The greatest podcast.
Wherever you're listening or watching, remember, always keep it squatchy, yeah.
And now your hosts, Cliff Berkman and James Bobo Fay.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening to Bigfoot and Beyond with Cliff and usually Bobo. Bobo's not here today. God knows where he is. I honestly have no idea where he is, but I do know he's on the road for production, probably somewhere in southern Oregon or Washington or somewhere in between, but it's Bobo. He could be on another plane of existence. There's a big multiverse movement going on right now in the Marvel. I mean, who knows? It's Bobo. Your guess is as good as mine. But Bobo misses out this time because it's just me and doing an interview today with a good friend of mine. His name, we're just going to call him Lance. We want to keep his anonymity if possible. He is a long-term witness that we've been working with here from the North American Bigfoot Center for a year or two, I guess, now. I'm not really sure how long. I've got a pretty elastic sense of time. But met this gentleman in the shop, and he told me about a couple, a small number of Sasquatch encounters that he has had through the years. And so I started talking to him a little bit more, and lo and behold, he's had some very good up and personal encounters with Sasquatches, a handful of other sort of Class B sort of things on top of it, and a lot of it is largely due to where he lives. He lives in a very squatchy zone, and he actually literally chose his property for that purpose. So we're going to get into a little bit of that and hear about the backstory of what Lance has going and how this all started and all that sort of stuff. I think you're going to really enjoy this episode. And again, Lance is a good friend of mine. I completely believe this gentleman. And so enough of me blabbing. Let's get into some Bigfoot talk with Lance. So Lance, thank you very much for basically being willing to come on, because I know that you're probably a little nervous. Cause you listen to the podcast a little nervous. Bit, don't you?
Yeah, I do get pretty tired of Sasquatch stuff, though.
I know.
I try. I listen to one or two, and then I just don't want anything to do with it for a while.
I understand. Yeah, I tried running a Bigfoot museum. There's a certain balance that you're missing in one's life, yeah. I think, right? But yeah, so Lance.
Love-hate relationship with
yeah.
Imaginary beast.
Well, yeah, except the imaginary part is the problem, you know, because it's a lot of fun to do, and they're a lot of fun to think about, but at the same time, if one isn't careful, even if you're not a Bigfooter, like you're out seeking these things, it could take over your life and really affect you in some ways, you know? Yeah, like what happened to you. But, you know, people are listening to the podcast. They love to hear stories of encounters and whatnot. And, you know, I'm not a huge encounter kind of guy. Like, I'm not really deeply interested in a lot of stories. But you have some really amazing, close, personal observations of Sasquatches. you've had quite a number of them through the years. So let's go back to the very first one. In fact, let's go back to before your first encounter with a Sasquatch. Was Bigfoot on your radar at all?
No. And I did a lot of hiking with my wife and father-in-law, and all through the Three Sisters over in Blue Mountains. And he had property up at Lake Merwin in Washington. So I spent a lot of time outside. But I never had any encounter, never really thought about it. The only thing I knew about was Leonard Nimoy's In Search Of.
In Search Of, yeah. That's what turned me on, too.
So, but I didn't have absolutely no opinion whether they were real or not real. This wasn't on my mind.
Uh-huh. Until that day.
Yeah.
So tell us about what happened there. What were you were camping.
Well, yeah, my in-laws, my wife's mother and stepfather were big beer drinkers.
Yeah.
And they went camping every weekend at the same spot on a creek in Clackamas County. From the time they got there until they left Sunday, they spent their time drinking beer and sitting around a campfire, and that's all they did. That was pretty much... I wasn't a big beer drinker, but my wife and I would go hang out with them, like... A lot that we'd pop in on Saturday night and sometimes just have a beer with them, sometimes spend the night. And it was a beautiful little creek and area. And I had two dogs at the time, had a Great Dane and a Doberman Pinscher, like both good sized dogs. And it was a great place to let them run, and they were used to it. And the in-laws camped there like year after year, like every weekend during the spring, summer, and into fall, into September, October, somewhere in there. They get too cold and they quit camping out there. On this particular time, after being very familiar with the place, it was a Saturday night, and we got there late. It was dark out, and my wife and I and the dogs, we were sitting around a campfire bullshitting with the in-laws, my wife went to go pee in the bushes, and first time ever, she said, come with me, will you? I said, why? She says, it's just really spooky out tonight. And I said, okay. So we went and did that in the bushes and went back, had another beer, and went to bed. But it was creepy out that night, and it was late and dark. So we didn't pitch a tent or anything. The in-laws had a camper that they stayed in. And I can't remember who went to bed first, if they did or we did, but we climbed in the car. My wife climbed in the back seat, and I climbed in the front seat and pulled a sleeping bag over me. And every night, whenever we camped out there, I always chained the dogs to the front bumper of the car. And then in the morning, they'd be whining, and I'd go and hook them. And then if we're sleeping in the car or sleeping in the tent, I'd go back to sleep and just leave them run, because they didn't go anywhere. Good puppies. And so this particular Sunday morning, they whined, and I got up and unhooked them from the car bumper and their chains.
Is this at the crack of dawn or something? Or
this was I guess 7:15, 7:30 in the morning. It was daylight. I don't know how long it had been daylight.
Yeah, but a little on the early side, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so their normal routine, as soon as I'd unhook them from their leashes, chains, they'd take off across this creek and run up the hill on the other side and be playing and wrestling and then come back. And that was just their morning routine. They'd hang out. I can't remember if I fed them then or what, but anyway, I'd go back to bed for a while. So anyway, this particular morning, this was 1977, mm-hmm. a long time ago. I let them off the leashes. They ran across the creek, ran up the other side, just doing their normal playing and stuff. And then at some point, they encountered a Sasquatch that was laying there, either sleeping or watching us. I'm not sure which, but it screamed and roared, and they just whimpered and started crying and screaming.
Now
screaming,
you heard this because you're inside the car, or
no? I was outside because I just let them off, and they ran across.
Yeah,
you're
watching them. So did you see them run across the Sasquatch, or did their behavior change, and that must be what happened because of what followed?
Well, I watched them run across the creek and up to their side. To a point, and I think at some point, I don't know if I turned and was going to go back to bed or what, but because, they did the same exact thing every weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think, when the Sasquatch roared and screamed and the dogs, started screaming and whimpering and running back, they came flying back, and this thing was just roaring and screaming and, stomping on the ground and, coming towards us.
Are you looking at it at this point, or are you just hearing it?
It happened pretty fast, but the dogs, when they got back, they dove under the car.
Yeah.
And they're shaking, and the whole car is shaking. And at the same time, I'm climbing in, because this thing is like stomping through brush and through the creek, and you can hear it, and it's just screaming and roaring.
But you haven't seen it yet?
No. I was just in fear.
Something big is coming down the hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just stomping and roaring and coming towards us. And it was so loud that my insides hurt. All my organs inside my body, felt like they were going to explode. It was just, it was painful. And the closer it got, the smell was incredible.
What would you, how can you describe the smell?
Sulfur smell.
Yeah.
But unlike how I've heard other people describe it, to me, it didn't. It smelled like if you were in a chemistry lab or something. It was like pure sulfur. It was, it was a very pure sulfur smell, I think.
Okay.
But anyway, so the dogs dove under the car, and we're talking 65 Malibu with not a whole lot of ground clearance.
cool car though.
Yeah. And I dove into the front seat out here, and I tried to pull sleeping bag up over my eyes to hide.
Uh-huh.
But I was on the sleeping bag, and I could only get up to about my chest.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't get it up any higher. And this thing is getting closer and closer and closer. And I wanted to close my eyes, but at that point, I was actually like just frozen with fear. And I literally tried to close my eyes, but I couldn't. I was just, at that point, I was frozen in the position I was in. I couldn't do anything. And it stomped and was screaming. Like, it's like half an elephant. Like, the ground shook when it stomped. It was like an elephant being mad or something. Two-legged elephant, I guess. And it got right up to the side of the car. And at this point, I could see it. I couldn't not see it. But I only saw it up to neck or chin. Just a huge black hairy mass.
Oh, so you saw the chest area, but the head was too high to see, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, I see. Yeah, through the windows of the car that you're...
Yeah, because my face, I'm looking, staring right out to my driver's side window. That's where my head's at, is right there.
And that's where it was, too?
Yes.
Oh, when I know I've heard this story before, obviously. By the way, I love every time you tell it. But I always pictured it was... you're looking at the window at your feet, but it was actually right above your head
right
at the time.
My head.
Holy crap.
Yeah, like 8, 10, 12 inches away from me.
Yeah, yeah.
So it gets right up next to my window, and it stops. And I thought, my first thought I had was it was just going to rip the dogs out from under the car and like rip them to shreds. But it just stopped and hesitated and like imitated a cougar. Like,
it started imitating a mountain lion.
Yes, very loudly. And at which point, like, that put more fear into my dogs. Like, they're shaking so bad, the whole car is going up and down. And it stopped and did that. And then...
While it was standing there, or was it walking?
While it was standing there. It hesitated and stopped right next to my window and did that. And then after... scared the dogs, you know, more than they were already scared, it started stomping off again and cussing and Sasquatch, like, you know, figure that one out yourself. But just and just stomping, and every stomp, like, the ground actually is shaking.
Yeah,
it was, I guess, like 800 pounds. I mean, just huge. And you could, I mean, as we were pretty close to a street, and it crossed the street, and on the other side, you could hear it just like busting and just going straight through the brush, like not going around anything, just going right through everything.
Yeah.
My wife was sleeping in the back seat. She didn't say a word. And then after this happened, like, I couldn't get her to respond. Like, she just pretended like nothing happened.
Really?
I think she's just scared to death. I don't know. She would never talk about it. And my in-laws that were in a camper like 100 feet away, in the morning, like after this happened, it was just such a rush that it was over and done with. I fell asleep.
Yeah.
And when I woke up, I would guess it was like 11-ish or something like that. And my mother-in-law and her husband were sitting around the campfire. I went over and sat down, and nobody was saying a word because they were just 100 feet away. They heard everything ever. That happened.
They would have had to, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know how long we sat there, but I was just in shock still. And, you know, you just have so many weird thoughts, like, running through your head and everything. And then I remember mother-in-law said, like, well, that was really weird this morning. And then silence again. And everybody just sat there looking at the fire. I remember later in the day, where this was not too far from houses and neighborhoods. I mean, we're talking, you know, a few miles away, there's people.
Yeah.
And so a friend of the in-laws there used to come out, and he'd sit and tell stories and drink beer and stuff. And I remember they were talking about what happened to us. And I remember hearing him say that, like, you know, I see Sasquatch, like, go up the road here to the tree farm. It's full of them.
Yeah, full of them. They're brimming to the edge with Sasquatches. You can't even keep them contained.
Yeah. And but the weird thing about all this was that was my first encounter. And Yeah, we'd been going to that spot, camping and watching the in-laws drink beer. That's what middle-aged like people did back.
Do.
And
yeah.
Yeah. 1977. Let's have some beer. No, thanks. I wasn't a big beer drinker.
Did they continue to camp at the same spot after that, or did that change their behavior?
Yeah, I don't know if... I remember I've been back there a few times after that, but not camping, and...
Well, you brought me there one time.
Yeah.
To go check it
out. And I can't remember how long it was after that. It was a while. I think it was a couple of years. They actually closed it to camping.
Yeah.
And there's still to this day, there's sign there says no camping, no this, no that. I'm not sure what all is on the sign, but...
Yeah.
You've been there. It's a pretty small area.
But it is a small area.
Kids used to go there, and they just tear the place up and leave litter and trash and fireworks. And you go down in the creek, and there was trash all over the place. I actually went down there one time with, wife in later years, or yeah, I think it was Connie, my last wife, who's deceased now. Mm-hmm. I think her and I and one of my dogs like went down there one time and picked up trash in the creek. And one thing I saw there was, when we were picking up trash, were stacks of rocks, like
2 inches, two or
inch
something?
In diameter rocks, like stacked about 4 feet high, like coming out of the water.
Hmm.
There was maybe two or three of them,
mm-hmm.
And I thought that was unusual. Like,
you think that might be connected somehow? Maybe
I don't know, but.
Good answer. I don't know either.
Later years, I saw the same thing, but 100 stacks.
Yeah, I know some people think that Sasquatches stack rocks, and maybe they do. I'm not sure if anybody ever.
I just can't imagine a human teenager or adult like being able to balance rocks like that mm-hmm. that perfectly, yeah. like 4 feet high, let alone 100 stacks.
Yeah,
pretty bizarre.
Yeah, I don't know.
So that's pretty much my first. Encounter.
Did that change anything in your behavior?
It changed everything.
Really? How so?
My whole attitude about everything changed because I just realized, like, you know, everything's a lie, or there's more to everything than meets the eye. Or, I mean, Sasquatch are real. It's not a myth or anything.
And they're still in the zone, I might add, too. Yeah, they're still out there
in
the same general area. We got stuff this past year, for this past summer, we got reports from that general area here at the NABC.
You know, a thought I've had is, this is a little strange maybe, but because of Sasquatch and because of how many thousands of people like haven't reported their sightings or encounters,
mm-hmm.
I think there's a whole lot of woods and forests that are still there because... We didn't settle there and build cities and stuff like that because people got ran out.
Mm. Well, they also they seem to like the land that isn't as usable, perhaps, as the big flat areas that you can farm or run cattle on and stuff. You know,
they have something to hide behind.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for more Bigfoot and Beyond with Cliff and Bobo. We'll be right back after these messages.
Well, now that was your very first encounter. That's not your only.
That was end of September or early October 1977.
Yeah, and you know what? And
45 years ago, 47. I don't know.
Right, and when I say that you've encountered Sasquatches, I'll just say five. I don't know how many times. Five times in your life. There are some old timers that say, "Well, he's lying because anybody who ever sees a Sasquatch more than once has to be a liar because they're so rare and etc." And that's the way, like, you know, Peter Byrne and John Green and DeHinden and the old timers would.
Do I get to tell my Peter Byrne story?
Oh yeah, if you like to, we can do that. We'll get to that. But they're just wrong. I mean, unfortunately, those old timers are just wrong because if you're
you have to actually go out into the woods.
Well, yeah, but if you're in the zone, you can see if you're where they're hanging out.
Now, my next encounter, my second encounter was 1979.
So 2 years later.
2 years later. And then up in the state of Washington, because my father and I had property up there. And so we used to go up there a bunch, hang out with him. And with him, we went hiking a lot. We did Three Sisters a bunch. We did Wallalas. And then I think the first time we paddled up to a creek, and I don't think for some reason he thought like that'd be a good place to pan for gold like next time we go. So we went again. He had the gold pan, and of course we had like a cooler with beer
mm-hmm.
and food and munchies and that kind of stuff. And we were in a 16-foot canoe, like three of us, my wife and I and him. No life jackets.
It was the 70s.
Yeah.
There weren't even like safety belts on cars.
I don't even know if
yet.
I had shoes on.
Yeah. Well, it was the 70s.
Yeah. Exactly. So
I think the no shirt, no shoes, no service sign was in response to the 1970s.
Yeah. So first or second time we paddled up to this creek and father-in-law is panning for gold. And the cliffs are so high that like 3 or 4 o'clock, there's no sundown in this canyon anymore. And it gets chilly because we're in the water and drinking beer, and he's panning for gold and drinking more beer.
Yeah.
And I remember I was trying to stay somewhat sober and not drunk because we're paddling in a canoe like several miles.
Yeah.
And like no life jackets, and none of us are really good swimmers.
Oh, geez, yeah.
And I hadn't had any problem yet, but I had a little bit of fear of water.
Sure. Well, for good reason. It's cold. Well, hypothermia is going to get you. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it was like the third time we went up to this creek. On the way back, a storm came up and we're in the middle of the lake. No life jackets and nothing. And the water like just stirred up and wind and rain. And like I was scared to death. But not scared enough to where we didn't do this again. Yeah. And my father-in-law, he was pretty funny. We got back, we did make it back, and we got to the dock and didn't drown. But when we got to the dock, and I grabbed a hold of the dock, and he just like leaned over to the water side and fell in like on purpose. Like he was pretty funny. So anyway, I'm thinking that was like the third time, and so we did this again because we're stupid. And again, a storm came up, and like this time, like we got scared really good. So I decided like the place where we're going is so cool, I'm going to see if I can find a map and find out how to get there, like driving over land.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll just hike down the canyon instead of like paddling to it, which is like, only for smart people. So. Looking at county maps and stuff, I found a way to get to this creek. And we're going down these back, like, dirt roads and stuff to get there. And, okay, so this road goes to, like, the dam facilities, like, between the lakes. Mm-hmm. And on the way, it crosses the creek that we're trying to get to. So before we get to this creek, though, there's a sign that says, like, private property, PGE employees only.
Uh-huh.
But it was a really small sign, like in a tree.
Easily ignored, in other words.
I didn't see it.
Sure.
Like, did you see it? No.
No, of course not.
My wife didn't see it. My father-in-law didn't see it. So we kept going. So immediately, like, this little adventure, like, we're not where we're supposed to be. So after a couple of miles, we get to a bridge that crosses the creek that we're trying to get to in the little canyon we're trying to get to. And so as soon as we crossed the bridge, I saw a spot to my left and driver's side to pull down into to get off this gravel road. So I had a four-wheel drive Bronco, a 68 or something, like way back when.
You had all the cool cars.
I did.
Yeah.
Did not grow that crap. So I pulled down in there and I spun it around like so we could get out of there in a hurry because we're not supposed to be there.
Sure, yeah.
And like just to like hide our tracks a little bit, we started gathering our brush and put it on the front of the Bronco to like blend in with the surroundings.
Uh-huh.
So we thought like, you know, that's cool. Like nobody's going to see us. And it's not that far to get back in the Bronco and go back to where it's legal to be. So
yeah.
I guess that was the thinking.
Were you going to let a sign tell you what to do? Come on.
It was the 70s.
It was the 70s, right. Yeah. Barefoot, no shirt. Yeah. Signs, no safety belt.
So we gathered up all our stuff, the cooler beer, the follow-ups, gold panning crap, and, you know, shirts, sandals, all that kind of crap, whatever we had. Everybody had 2 handfuls of stuff packing with us. We found a, I don't know if it was actual trail or we just climbed down to the side of the canyon at an angle, got down there, and didn't only had to walk like 100, 150 yards to get to where we usually went, like canoeing. One thing I forgot to mention was every time we'd paddled up there in a canoe, while we were down there playing in the water and being stupid, it always felt like somebody was, like, watching us.
Mm-hmm.
again, this time we're down there and like walked to get down there. So canoed, but I kept glancing up to the top of the cliffs because it felt like somebody was watching us, and we didn't see anything. And again, like we did our usual routine, and then 3:30 somewhere in there, the sun's behind the cliffs and it's starting to get cold. So we left and went back the way we came. And we got back on top of the bluff there. We're like 25 yards or something from the Bronco. And the path back to the Bronco was a little bit to the right. And my wife and father-in-law were walking in front of me, and I was bringing up the rear. I had a cooler in one hand, and I can't remember what was in the other hand. But both my hands were, I was carrying stuff. All of a sudden, I got a whiff of something, a smell that I recognized, made me stop. And my wife and father-in-law were continuing, like, slowly to walk to the right.
They were ahead of you, or?
Just a little tiny bit.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I recognized the smell. It just made me stop. And what is that? I recognized that, but I couldn't figure out what it was. At the same time, I'm thinking about that. I'm looking at this tree that's coming out of a bush, and my whole train of thought changed because, like, that's a weird-looking tree. And my thoughts were racing through my brain, and I slowly, like kept looking up and up and up, and, like, with the sun glance through the trees, I could see, like, tufts of moss or something on the side of this thing, and myself it's a tree.
So the sun was behind this tree.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was kind of almost like a silhouette in a way, maybe.
Well,
but you can see
not
details,
really because we're talking. I'm like 3 feet away from it.
3 feet. Okay, so
yeah.
There to the, you know,
just right in front of me.
What is it? As close to the wall here in the
room.
Okay, so that's like about 4 or 5 feet. So between 3 and 5 feet away from you.
Okay. Yeah.
Uh huh. So I
keep looking up this thing, up this tree, and like the further up I look, it's looking more and more like just normal bark of a tree.
Uh-huh, like a Doug fir or something.
Yeah,
or
except for the thing is like a weird shade of gray, where Doug fir is like more brown mm-hmm. or reddish or something.
Okay.
And so I'm looking at this thing because it's just really weird. I just keep looking up and up and up, and an angle about like that, like, I don't know what that would be.
Uh-huh.
My eyes locked onto its eyes, and it wasn't a tree, it was a Sasquatch.
Yeah.
And we're looking at each other eye to eye.
Well, kind of, except that it's 3 or 4 feet above your eye level.
Yeah. And we were so close that, I mean, I'm looking at it, and it had a grin on its face, like an evil grin. Like
like showing you its teeth.
Maybe a little bit, but it just had like a, I don't know what kind of grin you'd call it, but it's like a grimace or something. Like,
yeah.
Like mouth was really, really wide and like eyes were squinting. It's just like, but it's smiling, but it's like a I don't know what you call it.
Well, that's a stress reaction in apes.
Okay.
Humans are the only apes that smile out of happiness. All the other ones smile out of stress. In that sort of way.
This was like a, this was a smile, like he didn't expect me to lock eyes with him and see him.
A surprise for him. Well, didn't two other humans just walk right by him?
Yeah.
Yeah, like walked right by the Sasquatch and didn't even notice it.
Right. So we locked eyes and like he had total human like facial expressions. It went from a grin. Even his eyes were like grinning. I mean, it wasn't a smile, but it was a grin. I don't know how to describe it. But anyway, so his facial expression when we locked eyes went from a grin to total shock. Just
like, mouth opened and the eyes opened wider. And
yeah.
Did it pull back like you just did right there in the chair? Like or did it just?
Yeah, a little bit.
It pulled back a little bit in surprise?
Yeah, and then right there at some point I screamed.
Uh-huh.
And it screamed. And let me toss some stuff in here while I'm thinking about it. His eyes like looked just like mine, like brown,
uh-huh.
like totally human. It was like looking in a mirror in his eyes. Like, so anyway, I screamed.
Could you see the white parts of the eyes, the sclera?
It was just like looking in a mirror.
Yes, you could?
Yeah, I'd say yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because it was, I was just surprised, like his eyes like looked, just like mine.
Yeah. Did you notice anything else about the face, or were you just so focused on the eyes that it, and the surprise at the moment that you?
Well, yeah. To just take this a hair crazier, like as I'm looking up this thing and see a tuft of moss here and there because I thought it was a tree, like it wasn't moss, it was hair.
Hair coming.
This thing we're talking. This was a hairless Sasquatch.
Well, a lot of chimpanzees, I think that people have probably seen, can get rather hairless as well as they grow older.
Yeah. Well, that was my opinion, is this guy was old. Like, there was just a tuft of hair here and there on his whole upper body. Uh-huh. And no hair on his face or on his head that I can remember. Just a gray, rough skin like that. It resembled the bark of a tree, but different. But like I can only relate it to like from sun, being in the sun too much, and not having like hair covering your body to protect you, like just rough. Like the higher up his body, like was the rougher it was. I think it was from sun.
Well, they live a tough life, to say the least. Yeah.
Yeah. So I imagine like you're probably going head first through brush and this and that and everything. But
yeah, they're tough. Tough critters.
But his face was, the only way I can describe it is rectangle and very, very weathered. His upper skin and face and everything, like the toughest leather you could ever see.
Yeah. And grayish in color, you said? The body, yeah. So the
whole
face
body
was the same?
Was gray.
Uh-huh. What color is the hair? Do you remember, or?
It was just a tuft here and a tuft there, and I couldn't tell you what color it was. Uh-huh. I don't remember.
Well, it was backlit by the sun, of course, too.
Yeah. So back to what happened here. I screamed, he screamed, and I turned to run, and he turned to run. And then the last look I had at him was, as he's turning, his eyes, like, turned bright red.
Mm.
But he hadn't turned enough yet to be like hit with the sun like that.
Yeah,
it was emanating from his eyes. They turned a bright red.
Yeah, and yours
and he went from originally smiling to like angry. I mean, you could just see it on his face and in his voice, like he went, "Arr."
Was it a high pitched scream, like a like a little girl screaming, or well, that, let me ask you.
It was
you,
an angry scream.
Was your scream like a little girl screaming? Yes. It was like
and his
high pitched.
His first scream was like the same as mine.
Uh huh.
And then, but behind me is my wife and the father-in-law are screaming.
Mm-hmm. Must have been terrified. It must have been as scared as you guys were.
I think so. Well, I don't think you expect anybody to see him.
Yeah.
To start with, and the only reason I stopped in the first place was because the smell like reminded me of my first encounter, which had been a couple of years earlier, and at the time I wasn't relating it to, I didn't figure out what it was until after all this was over, and I realized like that smell that made me stop was because he smelled like the first one I encountered 2 years earlier.
Right.
So the three of us, I mean, we all dropped everything that we were carrying. It's probably there to this day. I can't remember what I had a little cooler. I can't remember what else was in my hands, but I dropped it and ran, and wife and father-in-law ran, and we all jumped in the Bronco, and we didn't clear the brush another the way. We fired up and like leaped up on the road with it and took off as fast as we could, and we got down the road about maybe a mile, and I just like stomped on the brakes and slid to a stop in the gravel, and we all looked at each other and just cracked up laughing. The funny part was my wife says, like, "What are we running from?" Like,
she didn't
what
see
was
it?
That? No, she didn't see it. My father-in-law did, but she didn't know what it was because it all happened so fast.
Oh, gosh. That must be even, I don't know if that would be scarier or not.
So that's pretty much that story.
Yeah. So the red eyes, that's real interesting. I know you and another good friend of mine have both seen the eye thing.
I was actually looking at him when his eyes went from looking like my eyes to turn to red.
And when you say it was red, was it the colored part, like the brown part of the eye turned red, or is it everything turned red, or what was it that was red?
Wow, that's hard to describe. I thought about that 1,000 times. It's
it was an intense
moment. Like red emitting from his eyes, but you can no longer see his eyes. Everything was red.
Really?
It's just a deep with a lot of depth orange, or mm-hmm. I mean red, not orange.
Now, since you actually observed this yourself, what would be your explanation for that? Do you have one, or is it just like, holy crap, what the hell's that?
I don't.
Just mystery. Complete mystery. How that could happen.
I say in this case, like whether they use that for something, hunting at night or something. In this case, it was triggered by anger, mm-hmm. I think. Because he went from like being fairly sociable, he was smiling.
Yeah, right.
to turning in haste and screaming, and then his voice kind of turned to anger, like, and his eyes changed. And at that point, my feet were moving faster than my brain was. So.
Yeah, I bet.
Stay tuned for more Bigfoot and Beyond with Cliff and Bobo. We'll be right back after these messages.
So that was yours and your wife's second encounter.
Yes.
Where is she in this whole thing at this moment? Yeah, you know, back in 1979 or whatever, 77, 79.
She wouldn't talk about it.
Yeah.
Again, when that stuff happens, like it's, you know, nobody talks about it.
Now, you didn't talk about it for a long time either.
45 years.
Yeah. Until dumb old Cliff comes into your life and ruins it.
Her dad that was with us, like Richard, mm-hmm. He died, 25 years ago. She died just 3 or 4 years ago, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe 5.
Which was a big turning point in your life in some other ways, right?
Well, that she wasn't. I had a different wife.
Okay.
Yeah, she was a wife like, you know, 40 years ago.
I see. Okay.
We were together until like 81, so a couple more years after that.
Uh-huh.
Incident, which she would never talk about. Mm-hmm. So anyway, my current wife, we had no experiences together. We were together 22, 23 years.
Yeah.
She died in 2017.
Yeah.
And that's when I moved the next year, 2018, to the property I'm at now.
Yeah. And why did you choose that property? You just want to get out of town?
It was hard to live in the house where my wife, we did a home hospice. And my wife actually died at home after fighting cancer for like well over 10 years.
Yeah.
She had brain surgery like 9 years before she died, and the doctor said like she should make another 9 years, and it was exactly 9 years. Wow. When it all came back and took her out, and it took her fast.
So you were in town at that time?
Yeah, we had a house, but
so you want to get out of the house for obvious reasons?
Yeah,
and then but you also wanted to be out in the woods for the Sasquatch thing? Or is that accidental?
I'm not sure. I think I was just looking for someplace out, like the place where I had my first encounter that I showed you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, up that road to the north was a house that was like empty and totally beat. It was a needed rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on 9 acres, and it overlooked a valley that was just north of that siding that I had there.
Yeah.
And so I was interested in that house, and I was going to bid on it because they were taking bids. And somebody offered like $50,000 more than I had.
Oh, geez, at the time. Yeah.
And
can't compete.
And we're
with
talking
that.
About a place that like people had even gone and stripped all the wiring out. It was that bad.
Mm-hmm.
But it was cool at one time, and it could have been again. So that's what got me interested in being out again. And so I kept looking, and there just wasn't anything available anywhere at that time. That was 2018, I think. I found the place I'm in now, and it was just about all there was, and I wasn't sure I wanted it because the old double wide is pretty shot, and but it was cool property, an area, I guess, close to Weyerhaeuser tree farms and national forest and stuff like that. And the day I was going to look at the place in person, and meeting my real estate buddy that we were going to meet there so I could look at it, I stopped at Weyerhaeuser property in an open field, and I had two dogs with me, and we'd made it probably 300 or 400 feet down this gravel road into this open field, And my dogs were right next to me. And Abigail, she went and sniffed at something like just to the right of us, like 10, 15 feet to the right of us in the grass, and stopped and looked at me and whined. I went over and looked, and there was a critter there. I'm not exactly sure what it was, a nutria or something. It looked like a beaver, but no tail. And the head was ripped off. And it was still gushing blood.
Still,
blood was still coming out.
So it was very fresh then.
Very fresh.
Yeah.
Like we'd interrupted something. And like this is a pretty open field. The grass was, you know, 12, 16 inches high at the most anywhere. I think it had been logged recently. Or so, I know. But it was pretty much an open field.
Yeah, you've shown me where that field is. Yeah. It's not far from where you live.
Right. Yeah. So I saw that, and that kind of sold me on, like, well, that's just, that's scary weird.
Yeah, so
my dogs, like, went from being excited to getting out to play to, like, I think we all three of us walked backwards back to the truck. Like,
I chose my property based on a headless rodent.
Well, something with hands, like,
sure,
ripped this thing apart.
No, I would have been sold, too. I get it. Like you, I also chose my property based on sighting reports. And, you know, I think most people do.
And the house that I looked at that I didn't get, because somebody outbid me, was, you know, at that point, when I was looking at that, well, that's real close to where I had a sighting when I was a kid. And I thought this would be great because it overlooked this canyon. And I could, like, look out the kitchen window and see down this canyon and, like, watch for Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And then here I come across this, and all I can think about is, like, got to be a Sasquatch that did that. Like, what else could do that? And then, so I had an appointment to look at the property, and the dogs, like, drove up, took a left. Drove a couple miles to the property and walked around it with my real estate buddy, and he's trying to talk me out of it because the double wide on it's like 38 years old or something and pretty shot. And but this is all that was available. And my thought at the time, because I'd always had rental houses, was well, I'll just rent out my house in Milwaukee that I live in and make more money. And work on this place or put a new double wide in or something. And,
yeah.
Which all that didn't work out. So I can't remember where I moved in, like June, July, something like that, of 2018. And I can't remember if I'd moved in yet or not, but June of 18, and you saw the picture of the footprint I took.
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking it was July, but you looked at the date on it, it was June.
I think it was June. I have to double check again.
But anyway, that's the first thing that happened. Like
you
like,
found a deep footprint, a big footprint in the mud.
Yeah.
In the...
That, like, it was definitely a couple inches longer than my foot, which, you know, my shoe's like 12, 13 inches.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm guessing it was like 17. It's hard to... my dogs were running around in the mud, and I thought they were going to screw up the print. So I tried to make them, you know, like, sit, be still, and then before it was destroyed, I just pushed my foot into the mud next to it, mm-hmm. and then moved my foot and took a picture. Unfortunately, my foot didn't make much of an impression in the mud.
Yeah. You can still see it, though. You can see it in the photograph.
And the other one was, like 2 inches deep or something?
Yeah, it had to be.
And it just stopped raining, like a half hour before we were out there. I mean, it just stopped raining. So I don't know how my foot could not make a bigger impression than it did, but...
Mm-hmm.
So the conditions hadn't changed much, is I guess what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was kind of surprised that my foot didn't go in further. So it was something pretty dang heavy.
Yeah. So you found the footprint on the property. You say, oh my God, they're here. You signed the papers.
Yeah.
Now when I met you, you had already bought a thermal imager.
Yeah. Well, before the thermal, I bought a night vision.
Uh-huh.
And... well, let me back up here. Like, when I bought this place, five women lived in the house.
Yeah.
The father was deceased, and I heard he had an alcohol problem or whatever, but there's three daughters, mm-hmm. his mother and his wife lived there. So, five women. And all of them, they had all the windows and everything all closed up because they said it felt like somebody was watching them all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they moved out and I moved in, it happened like really fast. Anyway, I started being harassed by Sasquatch.
What would they do? What would they do?
Trees, like right across the street in the woods there, tree slap so loud that my dog's frozen step.
Yeah.
And looked at me. And then, you know, like we did get in the car and I'd go to work in Portland.
And now you worked nights, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Okay. And the house got hit, I thought, by like a chunk of wood or something. But as you pointed out, like it could have been a hand.
Yeah, they seem to slap houses on the outside or do something like that.
That happened more than once. Mm-hmm. And
how long was the house vacant before you moved in?
2 days. Or
2 days is all. Okay.
I mean, as soon as they were out, I was moving in.
Okay.
In fact, I actually left I asked them if I could leave a boat and a trailer and stuff out there before they even moved because,
Sure. Yeah, excited about moving in. Want to start moving.
Yeah, I had my boat like next door to the shop there, like 2 weeks before I moved in, I think. Uh-huh. So between the tree slaps and the growls in the woods and somebody hitting the house,
you were probably thinking, "Oh crap! What have I done?"
Yeah.
Careful what you wish for.
Yeah. So I bought a night vision. I think like, you know. I don't know what good it's going to do. At the time, I thought it was a good idea. So, you know, I got that tree twist out there.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You know, 200 feet back or something or two.
Yeah, on the other side of the goat pen.
Yeah. So I believe it was with the night vision. Like, I was sitting on the deck and looking around, and I saw somebody or a squatch standing back there on that trail right by where that tree break is.
Yeah.
I don't think the tree break was broke before I saw him.
Yeah.
But I didn't see him do it. I didn't hear him do it.
And this is pretty much right after you moved in, you saw this thing.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night or before, after work maybe or something? Because I know you worked nights.
I think that was before work.
Uh-huh. What was it doing? Just standing there looking at you?
Standing there looking at me.
And then what did it do?
It just turned and walked back down the trail.
And you thought, dude?
Well, it was kind of... Through the scope, it looked short and fat. But, uh-huh. Geez, I don't know. It could have been 7 feet tall.
It's kind of a long ways. That's like 100 yards probably from your porch, don't you think?
Yeah. I was thinking at the time, like, I was having all this activity and weird shit going on, but I actually thought it was more likely a neighbor than a squatch. But then the tree break right there.
Yeah.
I think it was a squatch. Like, it was way higher than a human could.
And there's why would your neighbor be out there at night and walking back into the woods?
I was trying to dismiss everything that happened.
I could see that.
That was all 2018, and slowly that stuff subsided. But before it did, I was really regretting moving out there. And in fact, one night, like me and Doc got in the car or truck wherever I was driving that day, and. So I could go to work for a few hours at night, and the tree slapped happened right across the road.
Mm-hmm.
I almost didn't come home that night because I was that scared. All that, like, slowly calmed down. And so that was 2018.
Yeah, so what would be the next thing? What were the road crossings or your neighbor's thing?
Oh, the very next thing, this was 2018 still. I saw the big red one. Standing in the middle of the road. And
okay, so you're driving home from work?
I was just going to town in the morning. This was 10 a.m. in the morning.
10 a.m. in the morning. You're driving to town.
Yeah, nice spring morning. Uh-huh. I can't remember what month it was, but I might be wrong on the date. Maybe that was spring of 19.
So spring. Okay, so it was spring of maybe 19.
Let's go with that. Cause
sure.
So you're driving. I got notes somewhere on it. But
you're driving to town, 10 o'clock in the morning.
I see somebody standing in the road like a half mile ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a straight stretch of the road, and then there's a little rise in the road, and then there's houses. And it's the closer I get, I see it's not a person standing there, it's a Sasquatch, and he's tall.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's a Sasquatch. Like every foot I'm driving closer to it, I'm more convinced. And I keep getting closer and closer and closer, and it's not moving. And it's looking, what direction would that be?
West?
Up on a hill, they're building a house up there.
Yeah, you said there were houses past there, but to be fair, not many. This is still very rural. I mean, there's at the next, probably in the
that,
next.
The first house on the right that was
50
being
built, acres or
that's
three
probably
houses.
Probably on 100 acres.
Yeah. Know. Yeah. So when you say houses right past
you can
past
see
there,
up on the hill. But
yeah, let's paint a better picture. It's not a neighborhood.
So anyway, I'm just driving up on this thing and it's staring that, up that direction. It's actually it's standing right in the middle of the road. And I get closer and closer. And I can't believe how close I'm getting. And I mean, getting close enough to see like it's red, hairy, and tall. And I'm probably 250 feet away, something like that, and driving at 40 or 50 miles an hour. And it finally like turns slowly. It didn't hurry. It didn't run off like, oh no, a car's coming or scared or anything. It took its time, like turn and walk to the south. And into the brush, into the woods. Yeah. And I stopped right where I saw it and rolled down my window. And there was just a ton of noise coming from where they were building the house, like boom, boom, boom. And shaking the ground. I don't know if they were drilling a well or driving pilings or something. But it was really loud and apparently, like, annoyed the Sasquatch. So that was... Let's go with spring of 19 on that one. So that was the last thing that year until September of 19. I'd had deer jumping over my neighbor's fence and eating apples off my tree right behind my house. Daily for several days they'd been doing that. And I'd go on the deck and wave my arms and they'd jump off and run away. So... I was in the kitchen, like at the sink, looking out the window, and I saw something. I saw movement to my left. I thought, it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon on a sunny day.
Yeah.
September. And I had the deer again. So this time I'm going to, like, just scare the crap out of them. I'm going to do like the wild man thing.
And little did you know the wild man was going to do something to you.
So I go out my front door, I go around the house, down my driveway, and I'm peeking around the side of, or the corner of my house to the west.
Yeah. To the neighbor's property. You've got 20 something acres, but it's very, very long and skinny. Kind of. So how, like 100, 200 yards wide.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so the neighbors are right there pretty much.
Yeah. So anyway, like, I peek over there expecting to see, like, deer, like, maybe one or two in my yard, and the other one's, like, getting ready to jump over, like, because there was, like, 4 or 5 deer that were doing this. And I instantly saw, like, a large black figure, like, standing perfectly still, like, at the edge of the neighbor's field, like, before it got to the trees or like their chicken coop or their house is just standing there like frozen. And, you don't know what to do in those moments. Mm-hmm. It was like jet black, 7.5 feet tall. And, just standing there, like maybe like he's listening or something. I don't know if he's after chickens or been watching the deer eat my apples or what, but he's just standing there frozen. And, I was standing there frozen, and I didn't know what to do, and I don't know if I wanted to, like, lean around the post at the corner of the house here or what, but or the deck, whatever you want to call it. But I had 1 foot in gravel, and I just barely moved my foot and made gravel noise, and it spun around and, like, split and took off running, like, at full speed, like, due north, like, and the neighbor's field there was, like, I don't know how long that is. Like,
yeah, a couple hundred yards, 100 yards, 200 yards at the most.
Something like that.
Yeah, until the tree line, right?
Yeah. So anyway, he takes off running, like he's standing up and like running at full speed. And there was a little bit of area there where the one shop blocked the view of here. But like before that, he dropped down on all fours and then... running about the same speed. I don't think it changed in fast, how fast he moved. But he went from standing up running to drop down all fours running. And then once he was past the shop, I had him view again and had him to the woods, a view of him to the woods. And then those trees are sparse enough. I still had view of him like running through the trees a little bit.
Yeah.
And jet black. And I'm just guessing he's the one that left the footprint. Like,
might be the same one, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't know.
So that was September 2019. And from what I know now, from I've been there long enough, I've met neighbors and talked to neighbors. Like, generally every September, there's Sasquatch around there eating apples.
Yeah. This is with the, now you met another witness came in our shop here, and he told us about finding footprints on his property, and his son, I think, saw one running across his field. And it turns out he lives three doors down from you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We won't say his name or anything, but like a totally unrelated witness reported similar things. I'd have to double check my notes to see when that was.
Yeah, and then there was a guy across the street from me to the east.
Mm-hmm.
They'd seen him too. No longer lives there, but
yeah.
Is that the guy you mean, or
the guy who doesn't live there any longer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think don't you have witnesses from the other direction
too? Oh, we've got a bunch of stuff from that general area. Yeah.
Oh, welcome to the neighborhood.
You live in the zone.
Yeah. Okay, so that was 2019. Like the daytime sighting at 10 o'clock in the morning down on that road.
Uh huh. Than the one running across the field. So there's another road crossing there, and there's another road crossing we haven't addressed yet. Is that?
Oh, that's newer. So that was pretty much it in 2019. And 2020, like after seeing the black one run through the neighbor's field there, totally quiet in 2020. I don't think there was any event at all that I was aware of.
Uh-huh.
And then 2021, I retired from working and driving to town every night on June 30th was my last day, and I'm since retired. But in February, on the way home from work at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, had a road crossing right where I had saw the red one.
Yeah, within like 50 yards or something, within 20, 30, 50 yards, the exact same spot.
I think less than that.
Yeah.
So
this time you're driving the opposite direction on the road.
Right.
It's pitch dark because it's the middle of the night.
Right. And I see it. I see a pair of red eyes, like about 8 foot high, like floating across the road. And
but you saw two of them, right? So it must have been looking at you.
Yeah, I think it seemed to be like kind of angled,
uh-huh.
Like aware of me. But he didn't hurry to get across the road, kind of floating. And when he got across the road and into the bushes, I could see his eyes like turn and looked at me. And the headlights on my Prius as I was approaching him, like, never actually, like, lit him up. And I don't know if I had my high beams on or not, but, like, you don't think of things like that at the time. Like,
no.
I might have been able to, like, hit the high beams and get a better look at him or something. But you don't think of those things at the time.
Yeah.
So he got in the woods and turned and looked at me as I drove by. And it was just right by where I saw that 10 a.m. morning daylight one, and again he's going the same direction that one did that morning, and within a couple hundred feet or yards of where that daylight one happened.
Yeah.
So that was early in 2021, and then June or July of 21 I met you, and then right after I met you, I mean there was other small things incidents that happened, I think. Like none comes to mind, but right after I met you, I was on my side by side, me and Abigail, my dog, and we drove to the back of my property where I have a picnic bench, and we stopped there. We're going to get out because I got trail cams on. I was going to check them, and as soon as I turned off the key on the side by side, like bam, 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 last tree knocks I ever heard, because they were like 30 feet like into the woods was all.
Yeah.
And because of all experiences I had through my life, like I didn't even turn to look. I just started side by side up and drove off. I don't want to see another one. I mean, I do, but
from a safe distance, perhaps.
I don't know. I go back and forth on that. So then I contacted you, and I got a whole lot of sure. No, I don't.
Yeah, well, sure. Yeah, they're real. You can see them.
I was going to grab them for you and hold them until you got there. But
yeah.
But then I think you told me shortly after that further down the canyon where I live, like there was knocks mm-hmm. reported like right after that.
So right after that.
So I think you believe me a little bit more.
Oh, no, I believe you anyway.
Oh, okay.
I believe you anyway. See, the vast majority of people that I run across are just good, general, average folks. You know, no reason to lie. They would get nothing out of it. If people seek attention from me, I don't give it to them. A lot of people want me to publish their names or reports and stuff. I don't publish any reports. Most people never hear about anything that gets sent to me. I've got over 1,200 reports. Yeah. No one has them but me, you know, and a small handful of people I let have access to my database. But no one gets attention from me. You know, I guess occasionally someone like you ends up on my podcast if they have great stories, but that's about it. Now, you know, when you came in, I remember one of the first times, I don't know if it was the first time I spoke to you or just one of the first times, you were telling me about the stuff that had happened to you. And in the area in which you live is an area of interest for us here at the NABC. And I said, okay, so you've seen the red one. It sounds like you've seen the black one. And I asked, have you seen the big white one yet? And it looks like your face changed. It's like I just like hit your hand with a hammer.
I might have got a glimpse of her one day.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's her, but I just the red one and the black one are definitely males. I mean, there's, you know.
That's the impression you got, or did you see the junk?
No, I didn't. But okay. There was, you know, like, no breast, and uh-huh. like, I got close enough. Both of them were, I got closer to the red one driving than I did to the black one in the neighbor's yard. But, you know, if there were females, I think you would have been able to tell.
But you think the white one might be female for some reason, or?
I just saw it duck down, and I wasn't sure what I saw. Uh-huh. This happened so fast, but just like I'm looking at you, a friend of mine and I were going to go down in the canyon. I can't remember if we had a plan or reason or what we were going to do. Actually, I think we were going to go fish. I think we had fishing poles with us. Maybe. I can't remember. But I decided I didn't want to go because my feet was killing me because mm-hmm. I had crappy shoes on. So I turned around and we went back up, and we were where the picnic bench is there.
Yeah.
Well, I was parked right by there with my pickup, and I was talking to my friend, so I'm talking to you. But I was looking past him, and I saw something duck down, and it looked like white or grayish.
Yeah.
But I'm not positive because I just caught a part of a head, but I'm
just a flash.
I couldn't tell for sure, but it's just a quick glimpse.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Well, I imagine there's probably a bunch of other maybe things that have occurred over the years as well, and probably a lot more coming.
I hope not.
Yeah, well, you're in an ideal situation to have more encounters, of course, which is why you bought the property, and partially at least. And I thank you for inviting us onto it. Currently have a long-duration recorder on your property. In fact, I'll probably be out there tomorrow changing the cards and the batteries. We haven't got we got some weird things, but nothing you can take to the bank so far. So if more stuff pops up in your property, I'll be happy to share it with the podcast. And of course, our museum members get first dibs on a lot of this. We've been monitoring your property for a long time, and we post things regularly to our museum members and, you know, that kind of thing. So do you have any final thoughts or any closing shots or anything?
Closing shots?
Yeah. You want to take a shot at me?
No.
No.
I hope someday you get to actually see one.
I want to see one in daylight. All I've got so far is a thermal view of one, you know, so yeah, I'd really like to see one daylight. But, you know, there's always tomorrow when I'm changing out the long-duration recorder at your property.
Yeah.
See what you can do for me, Lance.
I'll wish one up for you.
Yeah, there you go. Manifest it.
Well, thanks. This stuff's hard to talk about.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Lance, for coming on Bigfoot and Beyond with Cliff and usually Bobo. Bobo may be in town this next week. I don't know. He's the kind of guy that calls me at midnight and says, Cliff, I need a place to crash. Can I sleep on your couch? And yeah, man, cool. I'll be there in an hour. And then he shows up like a day later or something. So so we'll see if he shows up or not. Too bad you didn't get a chance to meet him, though. And for all you guys out there listening for Bigfoot and Beyond, we sure appreciate you doing this. I hope you're enjoying the podcast, of course. And if you have any questions or comments or things you want us to know about, go to the website, bigfootandbeyondpodcast.com. You can contact us there through the contact button is a really good way. But there's also a way you can leave us a message. And perhaps if you leave a message that's cool enough that we like, maybe you'll hear your own voice on Bigfoot and Beyond with us. And one final plug, we have those cool shirts. Go to SasquatchPrince.com and you can wear Cliff and Bobo on your chest. If that's a good thing, I don't know. If it's a bad thing, I don't know. But the shirts look great. I always say they're slimming. You're going to look amazing in them. So go check that out. And you can also check out all the other Sasquatch designs, like the Da Vinci design, the Resist design, the Not All Who Wander Are Lost design, all those cool shirt designs on SasquatchPrince.com. So thank you very much again. Do whatever you do, like hitting likes and sharing and tell all your neighbors and wake the kids and do all that sort of stuff and spread the word about Bigfoot and Beyond with Cliff and Bobo. Thank you very much for listening. And of course, in my best Bobo imitative voice, until next week,
keep it squatchy.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bigfoot and Beyond. If you liked what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes. Subscribe to Bigfoot and Beyond wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Bigfoot and Beyond Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Bigfoot and Beyond, that's an N in the middle, and tweet us your thoughts and questions with the hashtag Bigfoot and Beyond.